Today's devotion is titled, I Am Going There to Prepare a Place for You. Before we look deeper into this encouraging statement made by Jesus in John 14, I want to briefly dip into the previous chapters to understand the context and help us better understand why Jesus chose to say what he did in this chapter. Let us first go back to John 12. We read how Jesus triumphantly entered into Jerusalem on a donkey. Then we read what transpired when Jesus and the disciples were celebrating what we know as the Last Supper, a lengthy discourse which Jesus shared with his disciples. Jesus continues his discourse in John 13, which continues right through into John 18. This special time in the upper room was a very emotional time for both Jesus and all his disciples. In his discourse, Jesus reveals to the disciples how that in the next few hours he would suffer by being crucified, and then soon after he would be leaving them and returning to his Father in heaven. In Luke 22:14-16, we also read about the account, but in much shorter detail. At the outset, Jesus shared with the disciples by opening with these following remarks. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Notice what Jesus said, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus, knowing that within hours he would be put on trial and crucified, eagerly wanted to let the disciples know what he was about to go through. Jesus was soon to suffer on our behalf, and just as important, reassure the disciples not to become troubled, as Jesus said in the opening verses of John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. I wrote this devotion at the start of the new year. We've just celebrated Christmas, having recovered from the stressful lead-up, getting everything ready to make the family celebrations as enjoyable as possible. We now look forward to the spring, trying to readjust to the normal lifestyle we are used to. For the first few weeks of the new year, it is noticeable that many of the television adverts focus on holiday destinations, luring us into booking our summer holidays. For many, this is something to look forward to ease the stresses of modern life. I do look forward to towards my holiday. I find it an adventure just planning where to go. Once the holiday has been booked, I spend a good deal of my free time planning the route. Then I proceed to discover areas of interest close to the area, including restaurants. Because of the many abnormal things happening in the world, as well as many of the prophecies being fulfilled which are recorded in the Bible, it is of some urgency we should be prepared for what will happen very shortly. So, just like Jesus, I would like also to use the words of Jesus, I have eagerly desired to share with you what is soon to happen before we as a church will be transported or raptured up into heaven. when the church has been taken up into heaven, for those left behind, they will face in unimaginable suffering and persecution. Jesus said in Matthew 24:21-22, "For then there will be great distress, unequalled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equalled again." If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. But I want to prepare you as born-again Christians, as members of the church, the amazing and wonderful things we will experience when we are taken up into God's glory. On most occasions, when attending a funeral, John 14 is often read to reassure Christians that Jesus is preparing a place for us in heaven, a place where we will be living with Jesus. It is a very painful experience when we lose a loved one, but we need to keep in mind and be reassured what it is like for our loved ones who now live in heaven. When we leave this world, we will experience the pleasures of going to heaven too. During our younger years, we do not think far ahead to appertain to what happens at the end of our life. But we will often have dreams of what we would like to do here on earth. Ambitions to fulfill, it may be a career. So again, we will be seeking to find out as much as we can about that career and the type of work it entails. Often a particular lifestyle or career we would like to follow begins as just a dream. There are many places in the Bible where we are reminded that we must not go through the valley of the shadow of death, as David so vividly spoke of in Psalm 23. At any moment, we are hoping for Jesus to appear in the clouds and take us up into heaven without dying. As we carefully watch what is happening to our world, seeing many things happening which are fulfilled and prophesied in the Bible, keeping a close eye on what the Bible says about Jesus' return, we come to realize that we are so close to Jesus' return. Jesus himself said in Matthew 24:31, "And he," that is Jesus, "will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other." We read in 1 Corinthians 15:51-53, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality." The Apostle Paul also reminds us in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind, who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's words, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." Therefore, encourage one another with these words. If we have that longing to be with Jesus, we should also be wanting to know what heaven is like and what it is for us to be with Jesus in heaven. It's a wonderful place. We should want to discover what heaven is like. We should be reading the brochure to discover for ourselves. I'm sure each one of us who knows the Lord Jesus will have a copy of the brochure to read, the Bible. In the last book of the Bible, we read what John saw in a vision about what heaven will be like. We read in Revelations 22:1-5. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. In Revelations 21:4-5, we also read, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. We read a prophecy in Isaiah 65:17-25, which reads, see, I am creating new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought to be a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labour in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they're still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Alongside the Bible, there are many folk, especially Christians, who have died through being in a vehicle accident, an illness, or while undergoing surgery, but miraculously, or maybe through resuscitation, have been brought back to life. To hear them tell the wonderful experience of being in God's presence and to taste the glory of heaven. I have met and read many testimonies of folks experiencing heaven through having died for a short while, having experienced a near-death experience, John Berg, the writer of the book Imagine Heaven, read nearly 1,500 testimonials of folk who went to heaven to experience meeting Jesus and the magnificence of heaven. The Apostle Paul describes how he went up to the third heaven in 2 Corinthians 12, 2-4. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. The first heaven is on the surface of the earth where mankind are living. Then the second heaven is immediately above the earth. That area is described in Ephesians 2:1-2 in the King James Version, which reads, "And you who have been quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Paul continues to say in Ephesians 6:12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." That means the second heaven. Then the third heaven is where God lives. John Burke describes heaven as a magnificent place to live. But we have to ask the question, why is life on earth so different to heaven? We read at the beginning of the Bible, when Adam and Eve first were created, things were so different in the Garden of Eden and most beautiful. But when Eve was deceived by Satan, God cursed Satan and all the earth became contaminated by what had happened. The Bible tells us that women would bear their children in pain, whilst on the land thorns and thistles would grow. When folk first pass away, their spirit leaves the body, but they take their memory with them and have spiritual eyes. They have the ability to see as they are taken up, many to meet angels and Jesus, but the moment they leave their earthly body, on that journey, all pain and sadness immediately leaves them. They're cocooned and embraced by the warmth, which is the all-powerful love of Jesus. I can witness this when my brother died for a short time as a result of a heart attack. He experienced God's love. When folk arrive in heaven, many describe how they could hear the angels' choir singing a warm, uplifting melody. Remarkably, folk who were blind while on earth could see while in heaven. Folk who have experienced heaven tell us that heaven is more real than living on earth. They feel at home there. They do not want to return to earth. But Jesus did explain they have to return to earth for a while to witness what heaven is like. Nature in heaven is so much more rich as compared with earth. Trees are so tall, plants and flowers have a deeper, richer beauty. There are a multitude more colours in heaven than on earth. When we go to heaven, we will be changed. We will no longer have human bodies, but we will have glorious spiritual bodies. Conversations were not verbal. One knew what others were thinking, speaking to one another's heart by telepathy. Your knowledge will become so vast. You will know how big things were. Trees are much bigger than on earth. During Christmas time, many churches celebrate the birth of Jesus. But during Epiphany, they celebrate giving the impression that Jesus is about to come as a baby again. But Jesus has already come as a baby in the manger. We do need to remember that joyous event, but the emphasis needs to change. Yes, he is coming again, and are we truly prepared for his coming again? Around the world, there is a sharp decline in moral values. Yet alongside that, we read in the book of Daniel 12, verse 4, many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Knowledge will increase in the last days. Knowledge has increased dramatically since the birth of the internet, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:7. Always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're not seeking to know Jesus, the one who says in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Are we sure where we are going after this life? Do we know Jesus, who is the way? Let us remind ourselves about what we, his church, will be doing when we are called up to be with Jesus in heaven. Jesus talks about the church as the bride of Christ. When we get to heaven, a great banquet is waiting for us. Jesus, our bridegroom, will celebrate with us, the church, the marriage of the Lamb. We, his church, will be married to Jesus, who is called the Lamb of God, who gave up his life as a ransom for us, as told in Revelation 19:9. The angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. During that time while we, the church, are in heaven, there will be such turmoil on the earth never known to man before. When the church was on the earth, through the power of the Holy Spirit, evil was restrained to a degree. But for 7 years, this turmoil will increase. Then Satan will unleash his fury, as spoken by Jesus in Matthew 24:21-22. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Then after the 7 years are past, we, the church, will be led by Jesus back to the earth. Jesus with his angels will fight and conquer the evil on earth. Satan will be chained up. There will be a great slaughter of all those that are evil. Jesus will reign on earth for 1,000 years together with the church and those who are righteous on the earth. Then we continue to read what precedes in Revelation 20:1-6. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him, to keep him from deceiving the nations any more until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or its image, and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years are ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. The earth will again be as it was in the Garden of Eden before man fell. We will be the ones who will judge and reign with him, as we read in Revelation 5:10. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. What a privilege for us to have. When 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released for a short time, and then God will again intervene. He will set up the great white throne, where the dead will be judged, as recorded in Revelations 27-14. When 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. They marched across the breadths of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves, that is Jerusalem. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them, and the devil who deceives them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophets had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heaven fled from his presence, and there is no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown in the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Finally, God brings peace to the righteous. As we continue to read in Revelations 21:1-5, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there were no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the older order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. God will reward all those who have faithfully worshipped and served him, as recorded in Revelation 22:12. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. Let us heed the invitation offered by Jesus in Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. The order of this age we are now living in is soon to close. God is about to fulfill the last chapter of this world's order. Are we ready for his imminent return? Can we re-echo the words of the hymn the writers penned? When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let us listen to the hymn.